And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks.
I love that horn. So, what's been on your mind for the last week, Reggie Amigo?
How ridiculous people are.
Isn't it just obvious? It's just obvious. Doesn't it become more and more obvious every day how lost and redonkulous people are?
I mean, this is, look, we're going to talk a lot about politics today because it's just, it's the nature of where we are in the country. And most people who have any ounce of, I don't know, caring for the country is interested in the political state of where we're at right now. But
very true.
I don't know, man. It's just so irritating and just grating how it's just blind. And I've the few times I've chosen to interact on social media with things has just been like an example of what is really wrong with people who are intelligent. And they just like, for instance, the statement of, well, I choose to believe the professional journalists rather than independent news sources or right wing anything, right? That statement alone depicts their inability to see past like what's being presented to them.
The veil.
It does, exactly. They haven't even considered to look at, well, what am I listening to? Is that correct? And all this stuff and the statements they made just in the week, this last week alone, they've like headlines and stuff have been manipulated to blatantly lie about a certain thing that Trump or Vance have said.
Well,
and it's been corrected.
It's the willful ignorance thing, man. It still exists. It is a willfully ignorant statement to say, I'm only going to believe certain news outlets and I'm not going to do my own research. That's a willfully ignorant stance to take. You are so, and I'm going to say it, you're so weak of mind and weak of, and so, you know, inept of effort that you will literally sit there and watch one show and just believe everything that they say, whether it's liberal or conservative. Don't believe everything they tell you because they're both trying to win an argument. And the only thing that happens when two people are arguing is they're trying to talk louder than each other.
Yeah, I mean the whole thing, I guess this is because I don't trust any source, to be fair. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are sources that I've already vetted in a certain way that won't do as much checking on.
Yeah.
Like here's what I would say too. Like it depends on the atmosphere of whatever I'm reading. Like the independent, and this is so getting into a little bit about what we're talking about today. So we have, there's a few things that I saw and I'm like, you know what, let's just dedicate an episode to this because it's illuminating both in a lot of different ways. But the Joe Rogan and Donald Trump interview that he had on his show for almost 3 hours,
yep.
The Sean Ryan and Father Dan Rehill. I'll get into why I thought that was interesting, and we'll talk about that. And then the Joe Rogan and J.D. Vance interview are critical changes in how we consume media and how the American public has received it. So when I look at something like the Joe Rogan and Trump, like, so that's a conversation. He doesn't have an earbud in.
Yeah.
There's no people in the room with Trump. It's just Trump and his staff, right?
Yeah.
And they're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
For almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so you're not hearing like some prepared liturgy or whatever it is. You're actually just, you're listening to Joe Rogan ask intelligent questions to Donald Trump and him answer the same thing with J.D. Vance. And I think if you're really wanting to know who that guy is,
yeah,
that's the environment in which you can tell that.
Well, yeah. And they weren't tin can interviews. You know, the one thing I will tell you, guys, if it's not obvious to you at this point with the truth being out there as it is, we know everything. We know Joe Biden thinks that half of America is garbage. We know that Kamala Harris can't answer complicated questions. We know that CBS and ABC both blatantly either defied rules or changed answers to make her look more intelligent because they couldn't, she couldn't come off as more intelligent. The fact that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump not only have gone to rallies and been consistent with their message across every rally, and not only did they both go on Joe Rogan and speak about really who they are and what they believe and why they believe it, and speak in their truest form, right? Mm-hmm. There were no scripts. Joe Rogan doesn't do tin can interviews. He literally does not allow scripted questions. It's a conversation. How can you possibly look at her as a valid candidate to run this country? And this has nothing to do with her race, her gender, her background. She has proven time and time again that when the heat gets turned up, she cannot take it.
So I'm looking at... So, you know, for the longest time, on even on the Harris-Waltz website, campaign website, you had no plan information whatsoever.
No.
Her new way forward was nowhere to be found, right?
Yeah.
And it took them a while. Well, they finally have it on her website, right?
Yeah.
And and it's
all of Joe Biden's policies. It's Bidenomics is what
it is. No, well, here, I'm just thinking because I haven't seen it. And this is because this has been a recent thing. It's statistics around the Trump presidency versus this stuff, which is fabricated, by the way. That is not.
Yeah.
That is totally not correct because they're you got to. Okay. Again, you got to understand statistics a little bit. They're going to manipulate it, which you can, to say what you want to say, by the way. But I'm just trying to find her new way forward, lower cost to middle class and how they're going to do it. Expanding. Okay. So they actually do say things they would do, which is exactly kind of what they're saying.
Well, here's my question.
I don't know. This is dumb.
If it's on her website, why can't she say it at her rallies?
She hasn't yet. I mean, that's why I had to look at it here. So that's the point I was trying to make. We are not even 3 days from, well, 3 or 4 days from the election day, yeah. Right? And she has yet to state anything about her policies, well, how she's going to do things.
Well, and on top of that, look who she surrounded herself with in these last 4 days. She's got Michelle Obama, who's literally called every woman who doesn't want a liberal point of view weak. Joe Biden called every Republican that supports Donald Trump garbage. She's hanging out with a war hawk in Liz Cheney, who literally cannot wait to send us into wars we don't need to be in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like guys, like look at what's around her. Look at what's around her. Look at who she's surrounded herself with. Tim Walz, who's all about breaking up families so he can turn boys into girls and girls into boys. I mean, do you have any common sense to see what's happening? Then you've got Trump, who surrounded himself with RFK, who wants to change the FDA and make our families more healthy, make our children more healthy, make America more healthy, get rid of the obesity epidemic, which, by the way, just a little statistic to kind of scare the pants off you, we outrate every other country in the world by almost tenfold on the obesity epidemic. You know, you have Tulsi Gabbard, who is probably one of the most common sense human beings you'll ever listen to, truly believes in the strength of America through protecting America from things that are not in its interest. Look at the people surrounding the people you're choosing. You know what I've always been told? You are who you hang around with. Well, that's as obvious during this election as I've ever seen.
Well, okay. This is the point that I think where this is about the choice of who you trust as your sources for things.
Yeah.
If you were to listen to The View,
yeah,
and that's your source of truth,
yeah,
then I can't understand why you would even be have a moment of happiness ever.
You're miserable.
You have to be miserable.
Because every one of those women on there are miserable.
Ugh. Now, this in the second part is, I mean, they're very much angry, like, you know, because they've been so poor to their men, or, you know, they can't hold.
Poor to people in general.
I don't know. It that grates me credit, because I've had real family experience with women who were like were man haters, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's been a reality that I've grew up around, kind of thing. And it's like, I understand where that comes from, but you're still an adult and you still have to get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I had an aunt, who was like that, man. She just had very poor experiences with men. And these men were
dirtbags.
Yeah. But that does not equate to the entire scope of humanity. And it doesn't mean you redefine roles and responsibilities.
Ad nauseum with Fox News. Like it's literally, you know, the same five talking points on Kamala Harris, the same five talking points. Like, guys, put a show in there that talks about something else, right? Put a show in there that talks about families and faith. And you claim to be such a hawk for the moral right. Well, guess what? You're using fear-mongering to try to convince people to vote in a way, which is no better. It's all fear-mongering. If you watch Fox, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, it's all fear-mongering. They don't care about you.
No.
They don't care about why you vote. They don't care about what your reasons is, what your personal experiences are. They don't want you to have common sense. They want you to do what they tell you to do, like good little sheep.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on this subject, this is why I'm so ecstatic about the numbers that the Joe Rogan podcasts have created. This will elicit a change in how all elections go from here on out.
Yeah.
And it'll definitely, depending on the outcome of the election too, right? If if it's really like a win for Mr. Trump, which I think it will be. I think that they're on the path to there, but I think that it's, you know, it'll be telling, be like, well, now we know that independent news media is very powerful, which
it has the sway.
I mean, if you take into account all the platforms that had his interview on with Donald Trump, then it was, I mean, almost 100 million, if not more, views than that's more than the Super Bowl gets.
As weird as it sounds. And I personally am a huge Joe Rogan fan. I love UFC. I love watching him commentate because Joe's not one that gets into waters that he doesn't know anything about. And if he doesn't know anything about a guest that's coming in or something that's happening, he educates himself on both sides.
Plus, Jamie is very good at like finding that stuff in a hurry. Like, you know,
but I call like Joe Rogan and Sean Ryan and several other podcasters that I follow modern day Walter Cronkites. They're not really here to cater to one side or the other. They're here to find out the truth and report the truth. And I think that's what independent media is right now, is what media actually should be. Media should be non-biased. Media should be looking for real, true answers. Media should be, you know, and Fox News, all of them have no want to find the middle, so that all Americans can come together.
What I do think you need a class of like a certain, I do think you need like a news classification for something that is specifically designated by someone or something that is, because we need an avenue for communication of like emergency stuff, of real events.
Yes,
there is a need to have like factual news content.
Yes.
Right. The problem being is that they've allowed the news to be controlled and manipulated by political agendas.
Yes.
That's the biggest problem that I have with any news outlet that we have right now. There's no, like, why I don't tune into any of, I flat out will not listen to any major news network, period. Will not do it. I will not. They do not get my viewership, none whatsoever. I will not. I don't even look at their websites. I don't look at any of them. I will not do it. I don't care if it's Fox, NBC, ABC, whatever. They have completely told me that I cannot rely on them for factual news content.
Yeah.
So I don't do that at all, period. And that's not good. I really would like to have. And that's what I mean. Everything that comes out, if I see somebody on social media post something about something happened, now I have to go through and like dig through a bunch of different.
You have to vet it out.
I have to go through and this whole process of like research to find out, okay, what's going on? What's this? Okay, what they say. And it's like you have to piece it together on your own. Mm. You shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to get at least the facts from what, if they call themselves a news outlet, you should be able to get the facts from them without descriptive words that are changed for a certain way to be propagandist.
Yes.
But that's not the way it is, and that's infuriating. So again, going back, yeah, the stuff like the Joe Rogan show, mm-hmm. that, yeah, we have a quarter of the country, the population of the country, are have watched Joe Rogan. That's freaking insane. This one interview, that's crazy, dude. Now, was Trump revolutionary and like said something completely like new during the Joe Rogan interview? No,
he did not.
But he did go for almost 3 hours when that conversation with Joe Rogan and actually spoke with specificity that I don't think Kamala could even come close to in regards to all kinds of subjects. I mean, that dude was throwing out history and certain things here.
History,
government. It was crazy.
You know, and he spoke about policies. He spoke about plans. He spoke about, you know, and you got to understand, Joe is a middle leaning left, right? Like he's not a hard leftist. He disagrees with the transgender ideology, all those things, but he still is a liberal in the classic sense. So Trump went on to a show with someone with a lot of opposing viewpoints. And because that person was willing to sit down and have a civil discourse with him, Trump was able to communicate in a way where he was very comfortable. He spoke very eloquently about many things. He talked about the economy. When he talked about tariffs, dude, he was throwing out facts that I was like, dude, I didn't even know that, you know? So there's this, and then in behind him comes J.D. Vance, who is, you know, self-professingly middle right.
Well, here's the thing. They're grooming Vance to take the presidency after Trump.
Yeah. Which I'll be honest with you. If JD Vance was top of the ticket, I'd vote for him.
Yeah. I think he's a much more, this is what I think. Trump's in a position where he just has that still the, I don't know if you call it momentum or whatever, but he had the backing and the what to do going forward into the next presidency.
He has the ear of the electorate is what he has.
Yeah, there you go. And I think that when he was looking for a vice president, he's like, you know what? We need somebody young and different and more articulate than what we've had. And
reasonable.
And we need to. And so I think that's what that's for, dude. It's totally that.
Well, I mean, and the thing about it is, you know.
Contrary to Tim Walz, look, I mean, here's what Tim Walz does. I believe that everything that Trump is saying is bad.
Yeah. Well, Orange and here's Man, my thing.
Bad.
Are you ready? Are you ready? I'll give you every rally Tim Walz ever does. Nazi, 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 Kamala, Nazi, Nazi. That's when you cannot form a cohesive argument on any level, and this is Kamala Harris too. I mean, and that's what frustrates me about her. One thing I could give you about Barack Obama was that man could speak.
No, he could.
Now, I'm not saying he had any content.
He could speak he had a transponder.
He could say it in a way where you were like, huh? Okay.
Yeah. When he had a speech to read, he could read it.
Yeah.
When he didn't.
She can't even read well off the monitor.
No.
Like if you watch her rallies, there are points where she starts filling in because she's still not okay with reading the monitor, right?
No, like, look, this is what I'm saying. You are a buffoon if you look at Harrison Waltz and go, this is who I want for president. You are just full of, I mean, good Lord. This is the most obvious, again, most obvious election I've been a part of. And it's just not even close. I don't even care what the agendas of both parties are really at this point, because I can't fathom. And this is what blows me away. No one can seriously tell me they want Kamala Harris to negotiate with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
What?
Or Xi Jinping.
No.
Or
Hezbollah or
Kim Jong-un.
Any of this stuff.
Any of those people.
No. Really? You want that woman to go in these places and talk like she does on these things? You think that's going to work?
The giggling, the uncomfortable laughing. Anytime that she is asked something that's too difficult for her to answer, it's giggling and uncomfortable laughing. So what happens when she's in there negotiating with Xi Jinping and he goes hard-edged? Is she just going to uncomfortably laugh and giggle and hope that that cures it? Or is, you know, here's the thing. You people who are voting for her, you want a politician. You don't want a leader. Right? You want a politician, because a politician will tell you lies and try to make you believe that the wrongs that they're doing are right. I want a businessman to run our country. For that matter, if Elon Musk ran for president or Warren Buffett, if any of those guys ran for president, I'd be more likely to vote for them, because I need somebody in office who is protecting American interests, not the race hustle, not the gender hustle, not all those things, because those things are, at the end of the day, they will be fruitless. They will literally be fruitless. I need someone who's willing to stand up and say, these are American boundaries. You do not cross them. You do not attack, interfere with anything that goes on here. And if you do, we will break you by taking away all of the money that America pays you for whatever that you do. We literally are in a $42 trillion hole because we are asking the American people to prop up every other country in the world.
Yeah.
That's not okay. That's not okay. That's not tolerance. That's not obedience. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. Every country is sovereign and has a government. It's that government's job to take care of that country, not ours.
So the thing about, we've both already voted. So it's not like nobody's getting our opinions.
Get out early, vote.
We both did. We've already done that, did our thing. What I was surprised when I went to vote was just that I had to wait. We had a wait of about an hour to just,
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We went to vote and I'm like, I was shocked when, you know, it was at, there's only one place in the county though that's doing it, which is probably why it is. But we went there and it was like, I looked around because it was me and my wife and my kids and we're just sitting there and I was taken aback by, like, I got out of the elevator and I'm like, holy cow, where's the line go? We need to go find it. I mean, it was crazy. I had to, here's the other thing too. I had to find, the local, the people who run locally for like school board and stuff. I had no idea who any of these people were, but I knew I wanted to make sure I got people in who were not, but it was like hard to find for some reason. Like I couldn't find a lot of information. So I had to reach out on a couple places and people and say, hey, who's not for radical left ideology and all this stuff. And I had to get a few names from people, which I usually don't have to do. I don't know. For some reason, I just couldn't find it this year. But anyway, so, if you're, I mean, if it's not clear or not, if you were supporting anything of the leftist ideology, you do not get my vote, period.
Yeah.
I voted to keep all the justices and the Supreme Court stuff in for Indiana. They're part of the reason why we have the way we've handled abortion and stuff, which I still don't think is strong enough. But, you know, at least they've done some things to limit that. So you know, I'm all for abolishing abortion as it is. So that's good. And a couple other things, but I don't agree with everything they've done, but at least that. So that's what I was like, well, at least they've done that. And so, yeah. So yeah, the other thing was that I had no idea, and I didn't even know it was on the ballot. It just had no, I guess I missed it, was the question of in Indiana where you could, should the state constitution be amended to remove the superintendent of education from something or other. Can't remember how it was put on the question, but basically it was like, you know, in the line of succession, basically is what it sounded like. Do you remember that question on the ballot? So because I think the Department of Education is a joke. I've definitely said, yeah, remove that dude from.
I voted yes too.
So, I mean, I don't want to down public schools so much. Cause I do think that, I mean, even my own experience is kind of mixed, but like, I appreciate the teachers who try and the administrations that try and all this stuff. I've met some very great people who are trying to make difference in child's lives. I just think that they've gone far off the rails and they are not, they're not allowed to do what they need to do. We don't push our kids as much as we could. There's a bunch of things I could go down the list of like things, but it's a challenge in a public school scenario. So I'll just say that, but my daughters are not in public school, so
my kids are in public school, and
I know that yours are.
I am legitimately, there are days that I'm very pleased with the things I hear, and there's days that I just shake my head and go, you know, I remember when it was reading, writing, arithmetic, history, you know, now there's a lot of these fluff courses in classes that don't make any sense, but they're required. High school has almost become like college now, in a sense, because there's a lot of requirements in order for you to have to take a certain track. And it's not, hey, let's get them, make sure they have a good base education. It's now, meh, there's some math, there's some science, there's some history, there's some reading, there's no more writing, there's no more typing.
There's no shop class, though.
There's no shop class.
There's no home ec. There's no, like...
Actually, home ec is still there. My son is taking home ec this year. He had a chili cook-off in home ec this year. I hope he did well. But, you know, in the... I wonder sometimes, you know, and I wonder sometimes whether this whole equity of outcome thing is the major reason why the educational system is in the condition it's in. Because, you know, this equity of outcome thing, you know, I don't want a person who flunked every science class to be making
scientific decisions,
medications. And I don't want the guy who got a D in flight programming to fly the plane I'm on. I just don't want, it's not, has nothing to do with who you are, where you're from. If you are not intelligent enough to make these things the focus of your life and do well in them, I really don't want you in charge of anything that I do.
No.
And that's what equity of outcome does, is it gives, oh, you're a D student? Well, you get to do what the A student does. No, you don't. You're a D student.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. You don't go to the surgeon who flunked out.
Yeah. You don't go to the surgeon who went to junior college and got
That's not what you want.
It's not how that works.
You know, you're looking for the top surgeon in that particular thing. That's everybody wants that.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's ridiculous to say this. No, this whole equality crap is so bizarre, because it just doesn't make any sense for this reality we live in. It's like, it doesn't. Now, does it mean we shouldn't have opportunity? That's the thing. Equal opportunity. Yes.
Quality of opportunity, I have no problem with.
Yeah. Equality of opportunity. That's what it is. It's like, hey, are you able?
Yeah.
If you do XXX, can you do this? Yes. Oh,
you're an A student like these other six people. Great. Because you're an A student, you're going to have the equal opportunity to do this. Oh, you're a D student. Yeah. Nah, bro. No, you're obvious this, but what I believe is not, oh, they're a D student, so give up on them. Find what they are good at. Help them find what they are capable of and help them excel in that area. Some people just aren't going to be good surgeons.
No.
Some people just aren't going to be good airplane pilots. Some people just aren't going to be good auto mechanics. Some people aren't going to be good carpenters. It's not a, it's not a you're bad because of it. It's just not what you are good at.
Yeah. That's it just so doesn't, it blows me away.
It does, man. All right. Let's talk about podcasts.
Well, yeah. So, okay. As much as I liked and enjoyed watching the Joe Rogan stuff from Donald Trump and JD Vance, okay, let me back this up. I'm still not a believer. Like, politics is not the, it's like not like my savior. It's not like something I'm bowing down to.
Yeah.
I refuse to be anything close to a Christian nationalist that they say, which I kind of think is a slang term anymore. Like,
yeah,
I think it's just hogwash, but I don't look at politics as the end all be all. I just view it's like a way for us to have agency in the way our government's run. That's it. Right.
Yeah.
And to hopefully for me to have some kind of, I can vote for the person who most reflects my ideology and what I believe. That's it. At the end of the day, I'm still a Christian though. And that means that Christ is still King. That means that that's who I bow down God to.
Is love. That's all it. That is the same.
So the Sean Ryan show, when he interviewed Father Dan Rehill, was far more interesting to me and far more captivating than either one of Joe Rogan's thing. I enjoyed watching those, but I took notes during that podcast of Father Dan. Now, also because I'm not a Catholic, so there's a lot of things that I was like, well, I know from having a lot, like most of my family is Catholic. So it's like, I very much know, and I've been to masses. I've been to all kinds of different Catholic services and stuff. And so, yes, I'm very familiar with it, but still, it's not one of those things where I even try to try to understand. I did it one time and I just, you know, once I've figured out that it's not what I want to do and the Reformation was for a reason, then it's like, you know, I just, anyway.
Oh, dude, the kneeling and the standing and the kneeling and the standing, bruh. I got old knees. I can't be kneeling and standing all the time. Will you try and kill me? Okay, sorry.
So one of the things that they, I don't remember if it was actually in the full interview, but one of the clips I saw,
yeah,
had where he explained like what relics he had.
Yeah,
when he goes on these things, and
it was in the full interview. Yeah,
was it? Yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember.
It was towards the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. And look, you must understand that the Catholic Church has a ton of what they call relics that are considered holy and contain some kind of power in essence. But I will qualify that and say it's not power toward like really do anything in our reality. They contain power that like, in other words, a demonic entity would find repulsive, yeah. Right? So especially when he mentioned that he had a piece of the cross that Jesus was crucified on. Like, yeah. A bishop in Italy, when he was over there doing stuff, had gave him this to hold on to and use during it, because he was in his, and I didn't know this either, they have a whole exorcist like class and stuff.
Exorcist college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, this bishop gave him this piece of the original cross that Jesus hung on. Right. Wow. Now, I'm a skeptic when it comes to some of that. Yeah. It's like, do you have like actual providence that goes all the way back and like really,
can you prove that?
I would just want to know, you know, that's important enough to where I think, you better have that nailed, like that. You better have that documentation like detailed out that you know it came to this and this, like, because that would be just something, you know, to me so vastly important to like, whoa, you know, you'd want to.
Yeah.
And some of the saint stuff, like I don't know a lot about the saints. I do know, I don't, the concept of the saint seems a little like, I think it's good to have like recognized people who have just lived exceptional, have done some exceptional things.
For sure.
Yeah. Obviously. But the idea that they are now interacting with this reality in some sort is beyond the biblical understanding I have that that happens. They're human. They die. They go to heaven. They don't have any interaction with reality.
Yeah.
That's done. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that. But when guys like Father Dan Rehill, right, there's just, he's a very, you can tell like when a person is not just off the rocker.
Yeah.
Nutso. Like you can tell he's experienced some things when he goes through these stories and stuff. It's not, there's no embellishment in his like micro facial feature stuff. There's no inflection in his voice. None of that stuff leads you to say, oh, this guy's just making all this stuff up.
He's not trying to win you over.
No, it's right? just a like factual storytelling, right?
Now, don't get me wrong. I still have my issues with how Catholics, the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church works. There's a lot of confusion for me, and I continue to study that because I'm very fascinated. But he seems to be one of these people that, you know, when he told the story about wanting to go to the mass and being worried about missing the plane, and then God basically telling him, hey, if you trust me, put your phone away, go to mass, right? And I'll take care of it. And then he makes his plane in 10 minutes from drop off to boarding in 10 minutes, which if any of you have flown in the last decade, that just ain't the case. Unless you're taking a 4 a.m. flight, that ain't the case, right? You're not going to buzz through customs. You're not going to buzz through TSA. None of that happens.
Right? Yeah, even if you have the TSA clear stuff and all that, which I had all that. I mean, it still sometimes takes, for a major airport,
yeah,
it still takes a little bit.
30 minutes to an hour,
yeah,
right? So, but I feel like he's a very, he's an example of someone who experienced terrible things because he was molested by a priest. He talks about that. He talks about how the priests, there's a whole section where he talks about how he got them alone, the things that he did. You know, he was very open about that, and he was open about the fact that that turned him away from his faith for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what you've got is a guy who's told a real life story about how he was with God, then something terrible happened, he left God, but how eventually he realized that that was an event. That wasn't his whole life. And you can't blame God for an event, right? No more than you can blame people for an event. People are going to do what they do. So he just seemed really genuine, and I was very interested in listening to him because he told stories. Particularly my favorite one is still he's stopping drinking. The guy shows up out of nowhere, very beautiful guy, very perfect chiseled dude, tells him go get a drink. He freaks out, runs back to his apartment. Waits till the guy's gone, goes back to church, talks to the father who told him. He says, the devil lost you, so he's going to attack you. And then he flies to Florida to do something in the ministry, and the guy shows up again, and they have a whole kind of back and forth, this is my domain, what are you doing here? You know, that to me is a very telling of someone who is human, who's flawed and failed. And even when he found his track and went to the ministry, still needed the protection of God, right? Like it's very telling.
Yeah. I mean, so just, okay, let me, before we get too deep into it, so his home church, is in Columbia, Tennessee.
Yep.
He's the exorcist. So let me say this, the title of exorcist is bestowed on somebody like the bishop has to select and ordain like an actual exorcist for a certain period over a certain diocese or whatever the thing is, right? So he is the exorcist who has been, you know, selected by his bishop to do so, and an author, I guess the bishop authorizes it or something. Yeah. I don't know the term they used, but right. He has a podcast, which I am definitely going to check out because I find him fascinating, called Battle Ready, which he hosts, right? So check those things out for Father Dan Rehill. I just think he, okay, let me say this real quick. for a guy who's fully theologically sound in a Protestant realm and firmly and unequivocally believe in the Reformation and what that stood for. So I have a lot of, I'm not anti-Catholic, I should say, but I'm definitely not like, there's no Catholicism is not for me. That does not resonate with the truth I have found, in some aspects, but I think there's nothing like going to mass, like praying the rosary and Hail Marys and all this stuff and confessing to priests. And, I mean, none of that stuff I'd say is like, okay, that's heretical. I just think it doesn't do what they, some of that is not exactly how I would define it as having to do that. I would say the saints, and we've talked about this before a little bit, so this is kind of a repeat of the I would say this, the way they treat the saints is not, I would say, biblical either, or even resonates with a reality that makes sense logically. But I think there's a lot of things in Catholicism. Like, I think you can be Catholic and be a true Christ follower. Let me say that. I think it's possible to be to like go to mass and all this stuff and be a true Christian. Okay. But I think it's also possible to call yourself Catholic and not. I think there's probably a lot of people who say they're Christian and they're Catholic that aren't really.
Yeah.
They would what Jesus would call lukewarm, and he'll spit them out. So let me just qualify that really.
Yeah, for sure. My problem with the Catholic Church is essentially it's too much ritual. Like your relationship with Christ and your salvation should be a very simple thing as God lays it out in the Bible, right? Repent, give your life over to Christ, get baptized, attempt to sin no more, and live an example. As you heard me say, attempt to sin no more. We're going to sin. We're sinners. It's just the way we are. But we've got to be aware of it and try to turn away from it. So for there to be so many layers added, and there's a lot of discouragement that goes on as to reading and looking into your Bible, that's where my problem lies mainly with the Catholic religion is, you know, the Protestant, as being a Protestant, my Bible is kind of where I go for my authority, right? Like, nothing has more authority than the Word of God.
Yeah.
Right. So I shouldn't have to go through a person or two people or three people and have them be authorities in my life. Right.
Well, look at, and here's a great, great example why I'm kind of not Catholic either is the popes.
Yeah.
The current one is just a no. There's some very heretical crap that dude has pushing. Said yep. and pushing. There's the last one said some things too. And that does not reflect even the Catholic Bible in any way. That, so to me, if your leaders are your leader, the one who's supposed to be the conduit to, you know, the Almighty, and he doesn't get it right, then that doesn't look good for you, man. I mean, that's just not it.
Yeah.
But I think you said it actually better. What religion and Catholicism, right? That seems it's a religion. There's things you can't do. There's things you should do. There's the this and this. Whereas a Protestant perspective is more not a religion. It's just a relationship that transforms and shapes your soul, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I think that right off the rip, there was like something I thought was kind of an interesting, and also I've heard this many times with life coaches and, you know, different people who are thought leaders and stuff and fitness and health and wellness and all this stuff is protect your mornings.
Yeah.
So that was right off the rip was like, well, that just totally aligns with freaking everything you hear about. Now his thing is he gets up at 4:30 is what he said, gets up at 4:30, which man, that's not anything like remotely what I'm going to do, but I hate mornings, just not a morning person. But anyway, yeah, he gets up 4:30, has this whole regime and that it's protected. Like it's until what I think what he said was what, 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 9 a.m.
So that whole period between 4:30 and 9 a.m. is that's his, he, nothing is, it's not disturbed. It's not, you know, whatever. Then he busts his balls the rest of the day. Right. Just running around.
Yeah.
He does say like the day gets away really quickly, which it can.
Yep.
Like it's easy to do. And it, like he says, especially, and I think what, especially in an exorcist role where you're directly in the line of really, truly demonic stuff, he says it's not him, it's God, which I thought was, first off, he said that. And I'm like, okay, thank God. Yep. He actually is there. And he goes, if I'm not full of him, I won't be successful with what he does.
Yeah.
That totally made, I was like, all right, dude, he's at least, man, this guy's on the right track. Right.
Yeah.
So another thing he talked about was, you know, he clarified how Lucifer rebelled against God because God chose us.
Yes.
And I think that's important to kind of understand. I think that's correct. But he does clarify that. I mean, he chose basically instead of his heavenly host, he chose us to have dominion over creation. Right. Mm-hmm. And that just really teed Lucifer off. Right. So I think that's, we see that in the Garden of Eden really clear. Like he's like, hey, here's two people. You have dominion over it. Go, you know, work it and, you know, that kind of thing.
Live in it and enjoy it.
But so the one thing we need to, I always laugh at the whole confessional thing.
Yes.
And I thought Sean Ryan was actually pretty spot on when he asked, you know, can I be forgiven at home without going to a priest? And Father Dan says, yes. Well, what's the difference between being forgiven at home and being forgiven by a priest? Well, if you go confess to a priest, you know you're forgiven.
That's troubling. Because it's not what the Bible says, right? Like, yeah. Like that gives authority to someone that they don't need to have, right? No man should be able to choose the level of forgiveness I receive or to control it for that. Like that tells me that speaks to the whole issue I have with this ritualistic nonsense that goes on.
Yes.
If I repent in earnest of my sins and ask for God's forgiveness, I'm forgiven. I don't need to go see Father Bob and be like, Father Bob, I asked for forgiveness, but will you ask too? Father Bob should be like, well, you've already asked for forgiveness, so you're good. But that whole thing of, well, the priest, you will know that you were forgiven. I can't go along with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biblical text is pretty, confessing your sins to another is great. Mm-hmm. You should do that, which I have no qualms about somebody going to a priest and having a confession time. I just think, I don't think it's not necessary though.
Yeah.
And the other thing he talked about was like, that absolves you of your, once you confess and the priest absolves you of your sin, then you're now taken out of Satan's dominion and you're now brought back into the light kind of thing. And then, but once you sin again, you're down and now you're back under Satan's dominion. And that's not how the whole New Testament lays out things to, I mean, I'm in the camp of once saved, always saved. And like you have a flesh. You're going to do things that aren't, you're never going to be Jesus. I mean, that's impossible. Like it's not going to happen.
Fair enough.
Right. You're going to have that. And I mean, in the biblical text is indicative of that, you know? So when I hear, it just cocked my head because I'm like, you know what? That doesn't, that doesn't logically line up with what you can tell from the biblical text about how this works. It's like, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We die to ourselves. We're born again in His resurrection, and we live out our way of letting that our relationship with Christ transform and mold us to get better and better and better. We are sanctified, but also in the process of being sanctified throughout the rest of our lives at that point. So if that's the case, then the process of sanctification is not completely immediate. Like, we're going to have stumbling blocks and everything else that cause things to happen. We'll never reach perfection, but we're in the process of going through this to be more like Him. Right?
Yep.
So, you're not under Satan's dominion ever after that. No. You can choose to, like, screw up, which I do on a daily basis. Like, I would have to go to confession every freaking day. Like,
that's for sure.
You know, I mean, because Christ goes into, this is what I think most people don't understand. Like, Christ says it's not really just your actions. It's your thoughts. If you're even thinking, if that comes into your mind as something, it's a sin. Because you've already allowed that to intrude into your being. I mean, so that doesn't mean, you know, it's, I think you do have to look at it like it's not the same thing as doing it physically. For me, it's like lust. I mean, come on, I'm a man. I love women, man. I mean, it's love. Look, I mean, to me, the woman body, bro, come on. I'm wired to want to look at it. I'm wired to want to like it. I'm wired to want it. That's it. And I mean, come on, I stumble with that often, but at this point in my life, I've been working on it long enough that it's not an immediate, like, sexual thought about any kind of hot chick that walks down the street or anything. Like, I know, and I'm working on it, right? And it's been a continual work in progress.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I occasionally don't go, oh man.
Yeah.
But I mean, in general, that's better. It gets better, right? But that doesn't mean I'm under Satan's dominion. That just means I'm a flesh and blood man. You know what I mean?
We're built with a nature. Women are built with a nature. Men are built with a nature. Those natures don't go away. They are part of us, right?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That part, it's kind of like, okay. But what I found, he has relics. Because this is another thing I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, the one saint he referred to, I've never heard of the saint that had he had the wounds of Jesus, was he had to wear gloves because he had his hands bled. He bled from all this stuff. I can't remember the name of the saint that he said that, but always, they never stopped. So he always wore gloves.
Yeah.
And so the gloves he wore are relics, mm-hmm, for the Catholic Church, because he's a saint that's been gone through that whole process. So he has a glove from the saint.
Yeah.
He has, like, a, from the Catholic Church perspective, a piece of the cross that Jesus was crucified on. Mm-hmm. And a few other ones. But those are two, like, I thought were, like, whoa.
Big deals.
Yeah. Especially the piece of the cross. Now, yeah. I guess let me, the Catholic Church has a bunch of relics, right? They claim all kinds of stuff, but they're very closed about these. I mean, really rightly, I mean, look, they don't care. They don't care who believes they are or what they are. They really don't. The Catholic Church does not care if you think that these are real.
Yeah.
They know they're, from their perspective, they are, and that's all that matters. They don't care. So they don't really say all the providence and stuff or all the details around some of these things. Mm-hmm. But to them, yeah, this is the real deal and all this stuff, right? I just found that fascinating.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't think people realize how big the Catholic Church is. So they have the power. If those things are out there, I would say they distinctly have the power to achieve getting them, right? To get what they're looking for. But I still think the most interesting part of that entire podcast was his demeanor throughout the podcast. Because when you first sent me the link for that podcast and I saw what it was, I was like, great, The Exorcist. I was like, here we go. And then I start listening, and this is a guy I could go eat with. This is a guy I could learn from. This is a guy I would love to have more in-depth conversations.
Yeah.
Maybe he could give me the missing pieces of what I can't find about the Catholic Church and why they do what they do. But it was, and what really struck me about him is he had a genuine absence of self-concern when it came to speaking his truth, right? Like I don't think he cares if anybody believes him or doesn't believe him. He was very matter of fact and very, you know, even when he talked about when he was helping an exorcist in the church before he passed away. And when the exorcist told him, no man should carry this burden of being an exorcist. That's why I'm not going to make you one. I thought, wow, you know, that's some hardcore truth right there, that if you've been an exorcist and you've seen these things happen and you've lived a life of having to deal with these things, for you to form the opinion of, yeah, no man should ever have to face these things the way I've faced them. That's an honest moment for even that Catholic exorcist to say, hey, this is brutal, right? This is a brutal thing you're going to face. And then he talks about some of the things that he saw and some of the things that he tried to take effect on. The one with the Mother of Guadalupe, you know, if the things that he said are real, that would scare the rest of my hair white, right? For me to walk in a room and a woman's eyes be slanted like a snake's, and she's slithering and she's speaking in male voice, and she's, yeah, dude, I'm probably going to quit being an exorcist at that point, because I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm not in for this.
Well, even when he said the one physical attack he had was like they were writhing on the ground, foaming at the mouth, without moving their legs or arms, comes at him.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, like, that's, I think, because we have been taught over and over again the physical reality is all there is, that something like that just is incomprehensible to people. Like, surely there's no way that can happen. It's not, but listen, he is not the only exorcist or only person who have said this kind of testimony either.
That's true.
And the thing about the priests in these situations, they have there's no reason for them to lie here. There's no benefit for them to like tell a fabrication of it. They're taught from the get-go to be completely honest. There's no lies, because a lie is against the very nature of what they are, right?
Yeah.
So the whole idea that they would concoct all this, but at the same token, you have the Catholic Church involved too, which but I guess I'm saying, it just from my perspective, I think it's more logical to believe these eyewitness accounts and what they've done than it is to just dismiss it as complete fabrication. I just think that it just logically doesn't make sense to not do that. Well, and you
can back it with the Bible too. There's documented cases of demonic possession in the Bible. I mean, you know, there's, you know, one of the things that I really enjoyed was when I said that out loud and heard how it sounds. I didn't enjoy when he was speaking about what happened to him with the priest, but when he spoke very candidly about the fact that the church was guilty of shuffling priests, and that there should be better vetting of the priests. If you are attracted to children, you should never be allowed to be in the clergy.
Yeah, never.
You know, because it's not curable. You can't take that away. If you're minor attracted, and you should not be allowed. Should you be persecuted? That was a different conversation. You need to get help. You need to get counseling. You need to get spiritual guidance. But you should never be allowed to, and I thought that was pretty brave on his part, because the churches, the Catholic Church has tried very hard to completely erase and cover up that history. Yeah. And for him to come out and say, no, we're not going to erase that history. We need to deal with it, and we need to meet it head on. And this is this being a person who was a victim of it.
Right.
Right. Not, this isn't some guy who's just, I'm trying to make church look good. This is a guy who was victimized and realized, yeah, there's a right way to handle this, and we need to handle it the right way. So I thought that was very interesting too. Like I said, the guy had no qualms about challenging his own leadership in his church. So that was very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, and the way he answered the questions about exorcism. So, you know, he's very matter of fact about, hey, yeah, I went to Italy. There's a 2-week intensive exorcist course that is, you know, 12 hours at least every day that you have to go through. That is very intensive. It's very grueling. And this is a guy that worked on Wall Street, by the way. It's not,
this is a guy that enjoyed the bad life for a while.
This isn't a dude who was unfamiliar with hard work. And I mean,
he talks very vividly about that life. This is the podcast.
Yeah. This is like a Wall Street broker kind of person.
Guy that was making a ton of money.
Like living, I mean, you know, working a lot. So if he says this is intensive from that, I'm going to say, yeah, I bet that's freaking nuts. Right.
Yeah.
But it's 2 weeks long and it goes over that stuff, which I found really cool. The one thing that was talked about was like what Sean Ryan asked, you know, like what's is there like a selection process to like who's going to be demon possessed? And there's nothing that he could think of as like why, only that people are more open to it and therefore they get, you know, if those people are the more likely to be possessed, right?
Yeah.
And I think he made some statements that really Christians in general need to understand. Psychics are demonic.
Yeah.
There's that.
Ouija boards, demonic.
There's all kinds of things that we just slough off. But I believe, like, if you listen to this, the one thing that really, not the one thing, but the one of the things that really is clear is that the spiritual warfare aspect of this reality is absolutely
real.
Yeah. I mean, and he even says it like the way, because when he talked about how the psychic, so you'll go and you'll try to speak to your dead loved one or whatever.
Yeah.
That's always the
demon impersonating
what he said. And this makes sense when there's always demons and angels present wherever you are.
Yeah.
And I think another thing he said about that, kind of separately, but like the demonic will increase your desires.
Yeah.
They can't like physically do anything really to you, but increasing your desires like triggers. And this is what I think he's getting at. They'll try to make triggers happen to increase your desires. Right.
Yes.
So when he says all that, so they're always present, they're always trying to do this stuff, they're always trying to be deceptive and get you away. But at the same token, you have the good stuff around as well. So it's like a bad and evil are always in here, always doing things to try to pull you away or to God, right? So it makes sense if you go to a psychic, that they would be able to commune, but they're not communing with your dead relatives. They're communing with a demonic spirit who he already knows all this stuff because he's been in the room with, you know, your dead relative when he was alive and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you have to understand these are immortal spiritual beings that are working tirelessly to defraud you. They're always trying to get in the way between you and God. Well, that makes total sense though. If you go to psychic, why they can say, oh yeah, this is blah, blah, blah. And they're going to perfectly imitate that person. They are way more smart than we ever can be, way more experience than we can ever be. So yeah, that makes total sense why they could completely imitate the dead loved one in a way like that, right? Yeah. So I guess that's one thing I would say. Look, that this is a reality, and I firmly, the Bible backs that up, that we are constantly, there is a constant spiritual war for your soul.
Well, and it goes back to, I think we talked about this in another episode.
We did.
Where I don't think people oftentimes, I think unless you open yourself up to something like that, I think oftentimes it's influence peddling. There's angels and there's demons, and they're constantly attempting to influence you in ways that can't directly interfere unless you allow them in. You know, and you know, I had a conversation one time with a guy, and it was so funny because we were talking about Ouija boards, and he goes, "Well, it's just a game." And I was like, "Okay, let's say we have a game show, and let's say in that game show, the odds are, well, if you win, you get whatever prize you're looking for, but if you lose, you let a demon out into the world." And loose on you. Would you play that game? Like, would you? Because the same thing when you lay out a Ouija board and you say, "Oh, please, spirit, speak to me, come into my realm." Yeah, I'm not inviting anything into my orbit that has the possibility of not only changing my behaviors and causing me to do things I don't want to do. I just don't want a spirit or an entity in my orbit. And I think it also... All right, so you want to talk to mom. It's like he said, mom's having a good time in heaven. Why you want to stop that, right? Like, oh, you want to talk to your mom? She don't want to talk to you. She's in heaven. She's in heaven. She's at the feet of God. She's worshiping and praising and visually experiencing perfection. Why would you want to bring her back here, right?
He says that. This is one thing that caught me, right? He says this.
Yeah.
So why would you do that to the saints?
Yeah.
Why would you, if that's the case,
yeah,
then what are you doing with the saints? They're human. They're in heaven.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
They can't hear you anyway.
Yeah.
They don't listen to prayers.
Yeah.
They're human. They're dead.
Yeah.
Gone. I just found that. I was like, okay, if you say that about somebody's, there's no difference. The saints
are. Well, and that goes back to one of those things where, you know, and this is another thing about the Catholic religion I don't understand. You got like St. Christopher medals and things like that. And, oh, I'm going to pray to St. Christopher because I think he's like
the intercessory prayer nonsense.
The patron saint of like lost things. Does he not have better things to do in heaven than go find help you find your car keys? Yeah. Like, what is going on in your world that you're like, oh, I'm going to stop a person's visual perception of perfection, their experience of perfection, and ask them to come help me find my car keys? Okay. No, that doesn't work. Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I thought it was very telling, man, when he talked about that. I actually kind of laughed out loud when he said that. I was like, he's right.
Oh, I got a message.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought you were getting called by
RPG. It's probably another freaking political text that I've had a bazillion of.
I spam block all of them.
Well, let me turn my ringer off so we don't get that again.
I spam block all of them.
I know, but I do too. I report it as junk, but it's like all the time.
Yeah.
Now, he did mention that some of the cases he's had have been years.
Yeah.
Like these people are like, now he says there's a process. There's a real process for all this stuff. But like this one fella was 2 years. He never was able to deliver or completely set this guy free or whatever.
Yeah.
I found that to be a little hitch. Like, cause he qualifies this by saying there's a specific exorcist rite that is done. It's a specific order. There's a specific, it's like very specific, you know, he uses relics to like use in conjunction with that, which, you know, makes sense that they, if they saw like a piece of the cross. Jesus, that would, you know, if that would repulse a demon, I would imagine, because hell, there's the redemption of humanity is like a part of that is like right there. So yep. I'm like, okay. Now to me, yes, that's a, like, I would just be like, whoa, but doesn't have any power over me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Other than just a symbolic nature of what that was. Right. But for a demon, I imagine that might be something different. Cause this is the thing that people don't understand is like, demons completely know the Bible and understand what God is and who Jesus is.
They're familiar with the word of God, right?
They absolutely know that better than you. That's why he calls them like attorneys, and like, they're like attorneys because it's like an attorney that really knows the law, knows where they can push around and twist it in order to elicit a certain a verdict or whatever it is. It's the same. That's what they do with all humanity. They don't speak that directly, like saying, oh, they don't, it's not like they don't know the Bible. They do. Yeah. They're trying to twist it and squirt it. We'll go reach around here and poke a hole through here and for you and all this kind of stuff to try to make you have some kind of disbelief or lose your faith and all this kind of stuff. So
they have a degree in unapologetics.
So what do you think of that whole story they were talking about with the Blessed Mother appears daily for the last 40,
for like the four children or the six kids or something? You know, that I struggle with that.
In this certain village, right?
And here's why.
I remember. Medjugorje, right?
Yeah, the Medjugorje. Why, you know, my question is why just those children? Why those four children? Why that spot? And what is the purpose of the appearance, right? Like, you know, and the thing I always refer back to is after Christ is crucified, he appears earthly to the apostles.
40 days.
And he's got the holes in his hands and he proves who he is. There's a purpose behind that. If you read that story, there's a purpose behind his appearance there, right? He is there to let them know, hey, I've crossed over, but I'm here to let you know you need to continue the work, right? You need to go. But she appears every day to four children and blesses, I guess their rosaries, because he has one of the rosaries from her, from that instance. First of all, how many of us are going to go there and be able to see that? You know, this goes back to one of those things where I understand that you're telling me something's happening, but in all of the parables of Christ, there was purpose. What is the purpose of this Medjugorje and its appearance to these four children?
Well, there were six children,
yeah,
and then the three of them aren't there all the time though, yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? To give these messages to humanity, right? But then why haven't I heard about these things before now?
Yeah.
If these are so critical for humanity,
why wouldn't you be out there giving them to humanity? You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
This is where, okay. I don't flat out say, no, that's, of course, that's not happening. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not there. I can't say that.
But at the same token, there's some things there you have to go, well,
my logical mind has questions.
Is this a tightly held Catholic Church secret type of thing where they don't do that on purpose because it's a Catholic, and, you know, they hold it in reverence and all this?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, that's what, but that was one of them. I'm like, okay, man. I mean, I don't know that you look, I am a skeptical person because I firmly believe that you have to found everything in truth, right? And so something like that, I need some truth here. I need some more than just some kids are seeing this.
I would say I'm skeptical too, but I'm also open to believing that any miracle can happen at any given time.
Exactly. Because
God's all powerful. So that's why I can't look at it and go, okay, that's total BS. But yeah, I do have the question, you know, what's the purpose? Why is this huge thing that's apparently happening every day not been heard of until now?
The other part about the interview that I think the satanic ritual stuff is more prevalent than what people want to believe.
Yeah, more prevalent than people actually want to acknowledge.
Yeah, I mean, when he talked about the guy in New York, the exorcist up there, who's saying Halloween is like the most dangerous point of the year for homeless people because there's Satanists who go around round them up for sacrificial stuff. Yeah,
kill them.
I mean, and I don't think that's a story they're making up.
Okay, so this is something I've always wanted to make clear to anybody. You must recognize that if there are people that worship God, if there are people that worship God, there are people that worship Satan. And if you don't recognize that both sides exist and that both sides are fighting for control of this world, then you're going to be one of those people that confuses good and evil.
Yeah.
Right? Like the devil calls for the most extreme things because the most extreme things draw you the furthest away from God.
Correct.
So you're out there, you know, well, I want you to a blood sacrifice. Well, he's going to inflame your passions. So let's say you start off killing a chicken. Then you're going to kill a goat. Well, then it's going to be, well, if Satan promises me power for killing a chicken and a goat, what happens if I sacrifice a life? You know, he wants you to believe that the things that you are doing are going to have a reward.
Well, and I would be less likely to believe any of that stuff if there wasn't like people who have left the satanic church, whatever that, if they call it such, they call it that sort of, that have said things. Yeah. There's tons of like witches and warlocks that have like left their covens or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
And have these stories of all kinds of things that they've
been
a part of and stuff, right? That's not, there's too many of them for one, and they're now finding that they found Christ and they did this and they're so awestruck by what that did for them and all this kind of stuff. I mean, look, absolutely, I think this is more prevalent than what people say, especially when Father Dan talks about the infant, how these people will sacrifice their freaking baby to that purpose, for money, power, wealth, whatever.
Well, it's been happening for years. I mean, let's look back on, like, there's been examples in the news, like Jonestown. That was a devil, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was a devil using a man to convince people that he was real and he had power, that God, he was God, right? Serial killers. Most psychotic serial killers fixate on religion.
Yeah.
I am very sure that those are people who have allowed demonic entity into their life, who were probably weakened and allowed to be taken over. The Dahmers of the world, the Zodiac killers, the Green River killer, all those people, the Charles Mansons, those are demonically possessed people. I don't doubt that at all. I'm sure that. I don't know about blaming it on Halloween in the sense of, well, it's on Halloween. I think it's happening all the time.
Well, my thing about Halloween is it's not that I think the actual holiday has anything to do really with that kind of stuff. I do think that as Christians, we must guard that those influences of the demonic and stuff and have that not be anywhere associated with Halloween. It's All Hallows Eve. It's supposed to be before the Saints Day, which was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be. Not anything to do with this nonsense about it, but because, you know, anything about demonic spirits and all that kind of stuff, that's opening. That's too much.
Yeah.
I do think though that And here's why I say it's really important too. And he makes a point of this, like, you know, the last 10 or 15 years, as he says, it's gone from Satan staying kind of in the dark and like to the side to being just outright and blunt and obvious. I mean, we see imagery now everywhere. It's not even pentagrams and horns it crosses upside down and all this kind of, that's everywhere now.
Yeah.
Which it used to be a hidden thing.
Those used to be shameful things that were hidden in the dark.
Yeah. Now it's not. It's a freaking obvious. He's saying, I'm here, I'm alive and well, and here, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's what's going on the last 10 or 15 years. And I agree with that statement. He also, you know, he also mentioned that demons can affect technology.
Well, he talked about cell phones and them being portals, that cell phones and computers and tablets are neutral, but they can be used as tools of the devil.
Like the text messages the one guy was getting from, that's a non-working number, right? That he has to, you know, his sometimes he has to like pray over his printer or something because it flat out refuses to print out something that's for whatever. I mean, I don't discount that, but here's what I'll say though. If that is true, then AI is even more of a concern.
Yes.
I mean, wow, dude.
I did a little AI experiment the other day. There's an AI app on my phone where I can tell that AI app to script a text for me about anything. And so I said, AI, or whatever it's called, Gemini. I said, Gemini, can you craft a text message that tells people about my love for Christ? And it kind of manufactured this Google version of what Christ was. And then it said, I'm happy. But it was, if you can do that, what can it do on the opposite side? Right. Because I was just trying to see is it slanted, right? Is AI slanted? I mean, and it is, because if you ask AI, you know, certain questions, it'll be much more intricate about its answers and definitive about its answers. But if you ask it about certain things, it's very boxed and mechanical and very definition driven. So yeah, I believe that's an issue. I believe it's an upcoming issue.
Okay. Let me explain this about AI a little bit. I've said this before though. I don't, it's not really intelligence. I just want to be clear about that. I don't see that as, I think it's a much more advanced search and computational tool. I don't think it's like learn. It's taking information. It's not creating anything. Okay. It's just taking information and saying, okay, you're giving it specifics on what you want. And then it's going to search for that and kind of spit out stuff that it's found and put together. If you're more specific with your, like, it's anything with like, even with a, even when you're doing like an internet search or something, the way you search can dictate what your results are, right? So yes. It's the same thing with AI. The more specific and detailed you are with AI, the better results you're going to get back from it.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is all the infant, we're in the infant stages of that kind of thing, which it probably will grow and become more and more, but regardless, if there's influences that happen on technology, then AI is going to be a real big problem.
Yeah.
Especially if we start allowing that in our homes, right? Which it already is, but I mean, like in you know, like those robot assistants,
yeah,
type of stuff. You know, yeah, that's to me, it's like, well, look, dude, if I can have a robot that goes around and cleans my house and like does my dishes and stuff, like, whew, that'd be awesome. But like, if it's be able to be manipulated by some kind of spiritual entity,
yes,
of sorts, then no, we're not even open. I'm not even open that can of worms, dude. No way. Right.
Agreed.
So, but I that's a question though. Right. Cause I don't think you can you prove that? That's the thing. I think probably not. You'd have to really, really, I don't know. That'd be a tough one, right? To actually be like, yeah, we're having an influence there.
There's a demon in my
toaster
robot.
There's a demon in my toaster, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to find that out. But anyway, the reason why I saw this is so fast, because I mean, this is the stuff that I think about and quandary. Because I mean, like the physical scientific stuff is interesting, but there's laws to the universe and everything that we have, and there's stuff like that that really aren't like, it's still awesome, but it's not like it's a wonder anymore. We don't have answers to a lot of other questions that the spiritual realm does, right?
Yes, for sure.
And so for me, it's like, even when talk about election or whatever, it's like that, okay, it's politics, but politics is politics. And at the end of the day, I'm looking at, you know, the trying to understand more of what the God that created the universe does and has and is doing in the spiritual realm and stuff. I mean, I'm reading Michael Heiser's book, The Unseen Realm, right now to try to get, cause he has, dude, it's changing my freaking, some of the theological stuff, man, because of the way he's explaining how the heavenly host and the divine council and the, all this stuff is. And it's like, okay, man, that's questions I've had for a very long time that I didn't have really good answers for. And he's like really, really laying it out there. So anyway, I found it really cool. I hope everyone checks out, I'll put all these down in the description. Yeah,
all three of the podcasts are worth a listen. I don't care what side you stand on. All of them are worth a listen. Especially, like I said, when I first got the Father Rio, I was like, uh-oh.
Well, you wouldn't think it, but it was me sending it to you. So you're like,
yeah.
What did he find? When
Reggie sent it to me, I was like, there's got to be something in it, right? Like, so I got to listen. And then I started listening, and I was like, huh. I was like, this guy seems fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
And not overzealous, and really he really seemed to be a very astute, educated and sound person. So
yeah, I think that we really need to, as Protestants, have good relationships with our Catholic brethren. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
We can disagree and have discussions on things.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But as long as we keep Christ in the middle as this is the cornerstone. And as Father Dan says, you know, the goal is heaven.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing else matters. The goal is heaven. If you don't get there, you failed, period. Yeah. And that's where you don't want to be. You want to get to heaven, period. Yeah.
You
want to
be in line for the big white house.
Yeah. You don't, sure. Don't, that he, that, I mean, you know, and I mean, his constant referring to, it's not him, it's God, which was, I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
And of course he's always looking at that as we said on the show before, we're not looking at our lifetime as the end, is this closed loop. It's really that it's an infinite outcome that we're looking at. It's eternal. It's not, it's you must look that far.
Yeah.
Don't look at just tomorrow, because that's not really what matters. It's your goal is heaven.
Yeah.
Period.
And we need to look at, you know, people talk about heaven as a new beginning. We need to be okay with the fact that once God's plan with us is finalized, he may have another plan. That he's God. He's not us. You know, his wisdom is so infinite and so broad that, you know, we barely are capable of understanding what his current biblical plan is for us now.
Yeah, we can't comprehend anything else.
We need to really just be okay with that. So,
all right, man. That's all for today.
Like, subscribe, high five, and shake, argue, vehemently discuss.
Tell us your opinion while you're in your safe space eating your vegan jerky.
And vegan
with
jerky.
Your purple hair
and your Birkenstock and sandals,
your chosen pronouns,
and your and your macaroni necklace. I'm not even sure that's a thing.
Your powerful crystal you use to communicate.
Your amethyst. Anyway, all right. I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
See you guys.
Bye bye.